The reading is written in the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, and is to be found on page 1063 in the Church Bible. It's John, chapter 1, verse 1. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, it's wonderful to be back here at St. Patrick's. It was just a year or so ago, I think it's slightly less than a year, when we were here. But it's lovely to be back. One thing that we struggle with since we got back is the cold. It's amazing how quickly your blood thins out. Normally in Santa Cruz, where we are, it's hot, it's 30 degrees or more, and it's humid. So we've really been struggling over the last 3 weeks to acclimatise back to, first of all, central heating. So we feel that we're being totally dried out every day. We keep putting our fleeces on, two or three fleeces. So yes, we're getting acclimatised back into life back in England for the 3 months we're here. So I'm just going to open with a short prayer. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that we're called together in your name here to worship you and to learn more about you and who you are. So we thank you for this time together, Lord, in your name. Amen. So I know this is Mission Sunday for you, or Mission Gift Day for you. And the title of my theme is Our Call to Mission. And as I explained earlier, we are here for the 3 month training in Oxford. And there is a great phrase in one of the training rooms there. And it says, some of us are called to mission overseas and some over the road. So some of us are called to mission overseas and some over the road. I think Mum would quite like it if it was over the road for us. But we happen to be called to Bolivia. And we've explained a little bit about how we get a personal calling and a little bit about what we're doing there. But the story for us is still unfolding as to what our mission is in total. But the reading that we had this morning, for me, encapsulates really the defining part of what mission is. And I'm just going to focus on one verse, which is John 1, verse 14. If it comes up, let's just tick. There we go. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And a slightly different version in the Message. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. And in part of our training, we're doing a lot of reading. So it's taken us a while to adjust ourselves to go back to studying and to reading. But one of the books that we've been looking at in the last couple of weeks is Silence and Honey Cakes by Rowan Williams and The Wisdom of the Desert. And it's this whole notion of the desert fathers with the proverbs that they wrote. And the verse that stood out for me, and I put it into my daily journal, was everything begins with this vision and hope of putting the neighbor in touch with God in Christ. So everything begins with this vision and hope of putting the neighbor in touch with God in Christ. So it's this feeling about working with your neighbor and this community. And part of our role in Bolivia, we feel very strongly, is to develop a community and to be able to share in a community who Jesus is. And there are lots of different facets to that. But our purpose really is to be personal and to be friendly and to live in unity with our neighbor and to share through our lives. And when I was looking for some statistics recently, some of you may have seen this, but there's a report back in July 2015, the Barna Report, which was commissioned by the Church of England, the Evangelical Alliance, and Hope International. And it was perceptions of Jesus, Christians, and evangelism in the UK. So this is particularly interesting because I was, again, thinking about society and how society changes. And where is Jesus now? Where is God in society? Because we seem to live in this area of post-something. We're either post-modern, and this whole feeling about being post-Christian as well. What's post-Christian society now? And dare I say it, we're almost post-Brexit, almost. We thought we were actually going to be coming back to a post-Brexit England, but obviously that story is still to play out. But when you look at the statistics, this is a fascinating study that was done. 2015, so it's probably still relevant. So 6 in 10 adults believe that Jesus was a real person. So they interviewed a whole swathe of people from 18 right up to whatever age and just asking them a whole series of questions. So 6 in 10 adults believe that Jesus was a real person. But then when you talk about the divinity of Jesus, the shift changes. Only 1 in 5 believe that he was God in human form. So you go from an acceptance, I suppose 60% is a majority, that Jesus was a real person, but then quickly switch into a minority about Jesus as who he said he was. And then when you look at the experience of evangelism amongst non-Christians, 60% did not wish to know any more whatsoever. So the door was shut. 49% were not open to an experience or encounter with Jesus. So it's almost half. And I like this one. 43% felt glad they were not Christians at all. So I don't know what happened there in the evangelism process. And then 30% felt more negative towards Jesus. 29% felt less close to the person in question. So you had an alienation going on when you're sharing faith. And then 33% felt uncomfortable with the whole process. So when we start against that backdrop, our mission seems quite a tough one. So if we asked ourselves, what is our mission? What's my personal mission? It's to share the personal experience of the transforming power of Jesus in our lives. Simply that. It's we share our experience of who Jesus is. Prior to going to Bolivia, I was thinking I need to know a lot about theology. I need to learn about doctrine. I need to know about the history of the church. Because I thought, well, people will be asking me those questions. How does it all fit together? In fact, they don't. They want to know about what is real in your life. You know, so we share and we see how the Holy Spirit works in people's lives. Yes, we do get questions on some of the theology, but it's really about who Jesus is, and we invite people to meet him. Now, Bolivia is a Catholic country, so 95% there are Catholics. And the interesting thought, and that we, Lisa and I, have seen, that they have a sense of God. The Catholic Church is the fabric of society. People will have gone to church at some point in life. They've been brought up through the Catholic Church. They may well have gone to a Catholic school. There are many Catholic schools there. So the Catholic Church is embedded in society. However, the people that we meet in our mission, they have a distant view of God, not a personal view of who God is. So God has been kept at a distance. So it's our honor and it's our privilege to carry the gospel message out to people. And it's in our neighborhood. It's the people we mix with on a daily basis. So what's my personal message? Because everybody wants to hear about what your personal experience is. So what I share with people, and I sit every Saturday, we have a Bible study out at the mission, which is a poorer part of town. And we share together. We study the Bible, we sing some songs. But the real heart of it is when we start to talk. Now, it's all in Spanish. So, as Lisa will testify to this, my Spanish still has to improve a certain amount. But that's never held me back. And fortunately, the pastor and his wife speak English, so they're able to translate for me. But they want to hear about my story and what makes me tick and my personal experience of who Jesus is. So they want to see how life works. When you look at the life of Jesus, he lived in community for 30 years of his life before he started his ministry. As far as you know, he was part of a large family. And so he would have seen through his own human eyes all of life's ups and downs. So when we talk about, and people share about the difficulties they're facing, and there are many in the community that we have experienced, death, debt, families ripped apart, divorce, all kinds of issues. People come to the church to seek support, to find somebody to talk to about these issues. And all we do is we sit and pray with these people. And we talk to them about that Jesus knows exactly the feelings you have in your heart. He knows exactly what you're going through because he has experienced that through his own eyes in his own life. So what do we do in the community? We share, we pray, and we live life together. So before we went to Bolivia, we literally sold most of our stuff, and we went with no agenda, really, just a calling. And I think we shared before about our calling of how we got to go to Bolivia. So we had the word Bolivia on our heart, and we thought, this is where we're going. But we had no agenda. No list of items that we wanted to achieve, just to go there and live with the people in community. And God will unroll the agenda that he wants for you there. So our calling is to Bolivia. Yours could be in another country, could be in your work, could be in your school, could be in the pub. One of the exciting parts of what Church Mission Society are doing at the moment, I feel it's a really exciting part of their ministry, is something called Fresh Expressions. And this is a mission about sharing the gospel through personal experience in all different types of locations. So they're working amongst young people. Again, some of the data and the statistics they share is a lot of young people below 35 do not want to come to a church because of past experience. They don't actually physically want to come into the building. So it's about taking church out to them. And it's about finding a fresh expression of sharing the gospel. It could be a cafe, could be in the pub, could be in the park. So this process is about taking the gospel out into places where it's not been before and sharing where those people are at. So I think that's an amazing part of what CMS are doing there, this pioneering spirit of taking the gospel out to different locations. One of the questions that's always stuck in my mind from a sermon I heard when we were living back in Peckham or East Dulwich, somebody shared, it says, do people meet Jesus when they meet you? That's the question. Do people meet Jesus when they meet you? So that's something that I always think about. Does the light of Jesus or the message of Jesus come from me? Do people meet Jesus when they meet me? And some days I'm certainly not sure about that. We all have our days when we feel very distant. So, and then the other part is, how am I so sure of my faith? And there's pivotal times in your life, and it was the death of my brother Edward, death of my dad, different types, different times. And I share that with people because it's really important that people understand what you've gone through in your life. So anybody here who knows our family history will know about that. And they're pivotal parts where you think, where is God in this process? An instant death, a slow death. But God never moves away from you. It's important to remember these things. Jesus is always there. You know, he's there as the comforter. He's there, the person that will just pick you up when you're down. He lives with you. You might not feel it at the time, but he's never, never far away. So there were three times in my life, I said, 86, 1989, and then the story of Anaya back in 2009. And I try and get this story right, and Lisa does remind me, and I get some of the parts wrong. But some of you have heard it. If not, I'll share it with you again today. And I was born, Anaya, I know David struggled with the name, but it is a little bit different. She was born in August 2009, 3rd of August. Normal birth, everything seemed healthy. 2 weeks into her birth, though, she developed a serious illness. And to cut a long story short, she got airlifted to hospital. They didn't know what was happening to her. She almost died that first night. But we got through that. And we were in and out of hospital for 2 weeks. Could have been a little bit longer, in and out of intensive care. And the doctors were searching for whatever her illness was. She was having seizures, and they weren't quite sure what was causing that. And so they were just running through a whole series of tests for her. But they never had a solution. They never were able to pinpoint any one thing. So she had lots of MRI scans. I had to sign all these documents to say we were happy for her to have MRI scans, which of course I was. It was all a bit of a blur at the time. But anyway, the final thought that they had was she was suffering from a deficiency in the white brain matter. So your body needs this white matter to be able to communicate. It's what the nervous system needs. But for some reason, they thought there was an enzyme missing in her physical DNA, which meant that this couldn't be produced. So the prognosis was she'd have a maximum of a year or 2 years to live. So you go through the euphoria of having a baby daughter, And then you get the news, potentially, that she's got a year or 2 years to live. So that was tough for us. And they just said, take her home and love her, which is what we did. What started from that, there was this amazing outpouring of community prayer. We were living in just north of Vancouver. So a church started praying. Mum came out, actually, and we prayed in the church together around Anaya. We had people coming up to our house. We didn't even know, knocking on our door and said, can we come and pray for your daughter? I know there were many people here who were praying. So this ripple effect went around the world of praying for Anaya. Again, to cut the long story short, 2 years in hospital, in and out, various specialists, neurologists, biomedicine, they never ever figured out what the cause was. They were very sure that she had been gravely ill, but each week that passed, there was no effect on her. So we'd go back month after month, doctors would look at her, put the cross section of her MRI scans up on the wall and say, wow, we see all this damage to the brain, but there's no effect on her. So we fully believe, that she's healed. There's no effect on her now, and she's not under any supervision by any doctor at all. So you need to share these things in your life. And you share what your walk is with Jesus in these times, in these tough times. So I share with my story because it deepened my faith. Without our faith, Lisa and I would have found it very tough. But we believe, the healing transformation of God's Spirit in our lives. So when I look at how Jesus transforms lives, I share my story. I share other things I've seen. In Bolivia, I work with and in contact with a charity called Novo that takes men off the street, broken lives, addicted to alcohol, drugs, and glue. One of the big problems amongst the young in Bolivia is glue sniffing. And this went out many years ago here in Britain. But it's a strong, big epidemic there in Bolivia. And one of the things that happens outside of the cities where people don't have enough food, enough money to buy food for their children, they give them glue to sniff because it suppresses the appetite. So they start as a baby, toddlers, and that never leaves them in the society. So we see through the process of Novo, you go in for a year, go through a whole teaching process. It's brokenness and lives being healed. Seemingly hopeless situations transformed. So when we talk about what we share, we talk about the transformational power of Jesus shining in people's lives. When I look back, and sometimes we look at the world, you think, gosh, this is a tough place that we live in. I think God weeps daily for the lost. Has he reached them? He reaches them through us. See, we are the link with the people in our community. Could be overseas, could be your next door neighbor, could be the person at work. Another part in this Barna report, it shows that 76% of people share the gospel with people that they know well. So we're comfortable doing that. So we are the link and we are the messenger for Jesus in the world. So when we testify to a living God, I testify to a living God, the one true God, who made his dwelling place amongst us, and we have seen his glory, Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you have called each one of us by name. The power of your healing spirit transcends what we know. We just pray in the coming days and weeks, Lord, that you just shine more brightly in our lives. That your love and your spirit flow out from us. So that when people meet us, they meet you. Watch over and protect us, Lord, in a dark world. And be by our side. In your name, amen.